Proverbs 26. Are you there? If you're there, say amen. Amen. All right. We've got a small group here helping us with the meeting, and they're shouting out amen. So hopefully you're shouting out amen at home. Let's stand together, please, if you're able to. One more time, give you a chance to stretch your legs, get the circulation going as we speak about here from the book of Proverbs. We'll get into it in just a moment. Proverbs 26, you just follow along, and I'll read these verses tonight, and you just follow along silently, but you can read along in your heart if you would. Verse 13, and the slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. Wouldn't that be something? Hello. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful on his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. One more. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render reason. May God bless the reading of his word, and let's pray together, and then we'll get into this. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of having a Bible. And we are blessed in many ways, and one of them, tremendously blessed, is that we have a copy of the Bible in our language. Always reminded of that. How many people, Christians in this world, that do not have all 66 books in their language. I pray for those that are translating the Word and those that are working in that ministry type, Lord, that you'd bless them in this time of year, and that you would favor them, provide the finances they need for that labor. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would give us the energy and the unction to function in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Whether you want to use the word slothful or the sloth, the sluggard, or the lazy one, these words, especially slothfulness here and slothful and sluggard, can be used more or less interchangeably. That's what slothful means: lazy, sluggard, indolent. I was actually doing a little bit of reading about sloths. Maybe you've read about them before or studied them. And when I was reading about sloths, this graphic came up of a t-shirt. And I have one pair of Nike tennis shoes at home that were a gift to me. And the Nike, maybe you have a t-shirt or a Nike pair of shoes, and you know you have the little swoosh, they call it. And on this particular clip art, there was a sloth laying on the swoosh. And the caption was, just do it, ... later. Later. And I'm not promoting Nike necessarily, but if you know the theme of Nike, the slogan of Nike is just do it. But when you add a sloth to that, you get somebody that says, let's just do it, but let's do it later. These creatures are adorable to some, I guess. You could call them that, I don't know. But they're also lethargic. They live in treetops and depend on the health and survival of Central and South America's tropical forest. They spend much of their lives in the canopy of the rainforest. This is much of their lives snoozing. Some of you are like, yes, sign me up. Sloth 101, I'd like to hit that class. Snoozing and remaining hidden from predators. The animals live solitary lives. They travel from tree to tree using a canopy of vines. Brazil and Panama are places where you can find them. There are approximately six species. And again, they survive in this forest. Now, here's the deal with sloths. They have an extremely low metabolic rate, which means they move at a languid, sluggish pace through the trees. Thought I'd just try to talk like a sloth. I can't talk like a sloth. Are you kidding me? I can't slow down like that. They travel in a day 37.5 meters total in a day. What is that? Okay, let's try to put this into perspective. I'm a sports guy. So a football field, American football field, is 100 yards long. CFL's a bit longer. That's good. They're healthier players. They run more, right, in the CFL. But that a sloth goes half a football field in a day. That's it. That's all the distance that a sloth will travel on average, 37 and a half meters, less than half the length of a football field. Unfortunately, while they might be cuddly, at least, and they do have some fingernails, though, I'll tell you that for sure, but I'm not going to be adopting one anytime soon. But that's where we get this, when we think of a sloth or we think of something that is slothful, you think of something that is obviously very slow moving. Well, obviously, Solomon, in writing his, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in writing about this, was not writing about a furry creature in the Amazon. Okay? In fact, he was alluding this word slothful in verse 13, and the slothful in verse 14, and the slothful in verse 15, and the sluggard in verse 16. Of course, when you think of a sluggard, you think of a slug, right? And I mean, those things are at warp speed. I mean, think of the warp speed of a slug and how fast they move across the path. And when you're out hiking sometime and you see one, no, there's nothing warp speed about a slug. And so we see slothfulness and sluggard and lazy and all slow moving and without much energy and movement. With that in mind, I'd like to speak to you really about this theme tonight of slothfulness or laziness, okay? And I'm praying that God would use this in a tremendous way as we go through this text. Number one, slothfulness makes excuses. Slothfulness makes excuses. Look what it says there in verse number 13. There is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. You know, a slothful man or a lazy man, and I'll use those terms interchangeably, they will do anything and everything possible to avoid the four-letter word of work. Anything and everything. You say, Pastor Turner, if there's a lion in the street, how in the world am I going to get any work done? There's a lion. I can't do that. All right, go to Psalm 104. I'm glad you asked. Psalm 104. A lazy man will create any way possible to avoid work. I would say this, that a lion in the road in these times was a virtual impossibility, especially during the time when most people are working. Now, we do work around the clock in some industries, but notice what it says in Psalm 104 in verse 21. The young lions roar after their prey. Earlier, Seth was roaring about his, showed me a picture of a monster, and he was trying to do his best impersonation, cross between a lion and a monster, you know. They seek their meat from God. Notice, the sun ariseth, they gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. So they are out at night hunting, while most of you and I'm obviously, but we're relating this to the sloth in Proverbs 26. The lion is out roaming the jungle, if you will, or the Sahara, or wherever they are, looking for their prey at night when everybody's sleeping. And then when everybody gets up, where's the lion going? Lion's going to bed. Verse 22, that they lay them down in their dens. Look at verse 23. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor, notice, until the evening. All right? God says that the lion's out during the day, or the lion's out during the night when, you know, you've got your head on the pillow and you're getting some rest. And figuratively speaking, the lion goes and lays his head down on his pillow and gets a rest. And what's man supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be laboring. And so as we flip back to Proverbs 26, I think that's exactly the correlation that we can make there, that this is simply an excuse. Look at Proverbs 22, actually. Before you get all the way to Proverbs 26, look at Proverbs 22, where the Bible says in verse 13, the slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. And excuses, you hear them every day. And the devil, he'll supply them. If the church, you'll stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. Excuses are a dime a dozen. And the slothful man will find every reason possible to make excuses. We're going to tie this in at the end. So stay with me if you will. We don't want to be known as someone that always makes excuses. Well, now I asked you to make your bed. How come you didn't make your bed? Well, you don't understand because, you know, my sister, she got in the way over here for a little while. And then my brother, he got in the way over here. No, don't make excuses. Get the project done. Get the bed made. Get the whatever it is. Let's be men and women that are not known for making excuses. Don't pull this one. Well, there was a lion under my bed, all right? That's not going to work because we just revealed the lion's not under your bed, all right? The slothful makes excuses, all right? Number two, the slothfulness is laziness. They're really synonymous of one another. Notice the Bible says, as we look at our text, in verse number 14, as the door turneth upon his hinges. Isn't that the only way a door can turn? I think so. The only way a door can turn is on its hinges, right? On its hinges. But notice this. In the same way doth the slothful upon his bed. The only turning the lazy man does or the slothful man does is on his bed. What does this mean? It means he is motivated to do absolutely nothing. Now, don't be thinking of others in your life right now. Don't be thinking of someone, oh yeah, I know somebody like that at work. I know somebody like that in my house. I know somebody like that over here. No, I'm going to just tell you right now, all of us have had trouble at times with this type of attitude of, I don't want to do anything. That's not a good attitude. That's not a good attitude for a dad, for a mom, for a husband, for a wife, for a son, for a daughter, for anyone. It doesn't matter what your title is tonight. No, we don't want to allow the devil to come into us and discourage us and defeat us and bring us to the place where we don't want to do anything. Think about that upon his bed, upon his bed. What is this telling us? The Bible says here that he is turning upon his bed. That means one thing in particular, he doesn't come out of it. He never gets out of bed. He's just constantly turning over and over and over and over in bed. Now, you know what? I try to get 7 hours of sleep a night. 7 hours of sleep a night. That's what my watch tells me that I've been sleeping on average over the last week. I can look at that. I don't know how accurate these things are. But anyway, I need to have that much sleep. You may need less. You may need more. I'm not here to tell you how long you need to be turning over in your bed. But I know this, that the slothful man, as the door turns on his hinges, is constantly rolling over in bed. He doesn't get out of his bed. He doesn't get roused out of his bed. Cold water barely could get him out of his bed. I remember, not me personally, but I remember some close to me that almost had to have that happen before at times. Notice, upon his hinges. On his hinges. The humor in this verse is based on the analogy with the door. The door moves but goes nowhere. Right? So doth the slothful man. He might be moving in his bed, but he's not going anywhere in a hurry. He's just rolling over from one side to the next. I got to turn my pillow over. By the way, cold pillowcase. Come on now. Cold pillowcase is where it's at. All right? But he's turned that pillowcase over so many times, it's not cold anymore. It's warm on both sides. This is the slothful man, constantly turning over, but going nowhere. Likewise, the sluggard is hinged constantly to his bed. Hinged constantly to his bed. Go with me to Proverbs 6, please. Proverbs 6. Slothfulness is laziness. Proverbs 6. We're going to be in Proverbs a lot, as you probably know. Just from the theme, Proverbs 6 and verse 6, the Bible says, if I can open it up, go to the ant, right? I'm pretty sure. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. 6:6, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little slumber. A little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Let me give you four things about this lazy person, or this slothful person, if you will. Number one, a lazy person always depends on others to give direction. What are you going to do with your life? I don't know. Well, that's fine if you're 15, but if you're 35, I think probably you need to know where you're going in life. Amen? That's what we need. We need believers today. We need some Christians today that have direction, that have a sense of direction. This is where God has me going. This is where I'm going. I'm trusting the Lord. And I'm not saying you don't go to people for counsel. I'm just saying I'm alarmed by the directionless society that we live in. And I'm not talking to the world. I'm talking to Christians. Well, I tell you what, we need to be determined to do the will of God, whatever it is. And the lazy person is constantly always depending. Now, again, I'm not talking about your 7-year-old. I'm not talking about even your 14-year-old. I'm not talking about somebody that's young. I'm talking about people that ought to know this is what God has for me to do. This is the direction that I'm going in my life. This is what God is leading me to do. And I'm going that way. And I'm going to trust God to do whatever it takes. This is something that we need. And I don't know if it's the child or the parent. I don't know if it's me or I don't know who it is. But I think we're all responsible that we've kind of created this lazy type environment sometimes in our own homes that we need to say, look, what does God have for you? Believe me, God is leading. God is directing His children. He doesn't leave us directionless. He doesn't just say, okay, you figure it out. No, He doesn't. Well, I tell you what, God has led me. I'm nobody. God has led me for all the adult years of my life, one step after the next. And I haven't always followed Him 100% of the time. I'll be willing to admit that. But His direction has always been best. A lazy person always depends on others to give direction. Number two, a lazy person fails to plan ahead. By the way, verse 7 is the verse for the lazy person depends on others to give direction. Look at the ant. The ant says, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler. They just get the job done. I mean, you've seen ants. They get the job done. And we'll talk about it here in just a minute. They get the job done. And then verse 8 is the second point. A lazy person fails to plan ahead, not the ant. The ant provideth her meat in the summertime at the picnics that we used to go to. Remember those? Praise the Lord. Provideth her meat in the summer. So the ants are having a rough 2022. Sorry, I had to go there. And gathereth her food in the harvest. You know? I mean, they're out there slaving away in the 35 degrees. We don't have much of that here. Maybe 30 degree weather. Gathering. And they're planning ahead. They are, this lazy person, though, is cruising through life with no thought of planning of anything. Tell you what, we need to plan. We need to prepare. Yes, we're living by faith, but we need to live our life by plan. And plan is following what God has for us. Number three, a lazy person does not care for what he has. Look at Proverbs 24, please. Proverbs 24. He does not care for what he has. Proverbs 24. I hope the Lord's helping you. Verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful. So this guy owns property. Amen? Amen. Lord, give us some property by your grace. Amen. Well, this guy he owned some land. He even had a vineyard. The other guy has a vineyard. And by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. So what was going on is there was a problem, though. It was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it, and I received instruction. We'll talk about that at the end. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Number three, the lazy person does not care for what he has. The field of the slothful, Proverbs 24, verse 30. Grown over with nettles. It's got thorns in it. God has given us so much. Are you taking care of what God has given you? I remember in Bible college, one of my teachers, he mentioned it many times, and right now mine's in disarray, so I'm confessing my own sins. He told us, guys, keep your cars clean. And I mean, he mentioned it over and over again. Right now, I'm in need of a vacuum. That's why I'm telling you this, because I'm making myself accountable. I need to clean my car. I need to clean it inside. Kind of hard to keep it on the outside clean in Vancouver. But I'm not saying if your car is dirty tonight, you're slothful. I'm just saying that we need to take care of what God has given us. Whether it's a possession, whether it's a relationship. We talked about that this morning. Everything is valuable. Everything is valuable. A lazy person does not care for what he has. Number four. A lazy person wants to have things, but not work for them. Now, let's be honest. That sounds like a pretty good deal, doesn't it? Something for nothing. But that's not how it works in life. Look at Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. Verse 4. The Bible says, the soul of the sluggard desireth. Man, if I could only have this. If I could only have one of these. If I could only get one of these. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. In other words, all the sluggard does is want. But he has nothing. Notice the rest of the verse. But the soul of the diligent. You know what? When I think of diligent, I think of another word, and that's the word work. The soul of the diligent shall be made what? Fat. Amen? Amen for some fatness. And the fatness is in comparison to the sluggard who just wants everything but has nothing, to the soul of the diligent that is fat. So a lazy person always depends on others to give direction. A lazy person fails to plan ahead. Lazy person does not care for what he has. A lazy person wants to have things but not work for them. The story is told of a beggar outside of a senate house. He presented himself with tears and sighs as he wanted them all to know of his deep poverty. He expressed to the men that he had a private disorder that kept him from earning a living. Each man who listened to his story gave him something. The story was so compelling. One of the giving men, though, sent one of his servants back to ask the man, "What is it that is ailing you so much that you cannot work?" The servant said to the beggar that he did not see anything physically wrong with the man and wondered about this ailment. The beggar replied with this. He said, Well, you won't be able to see the affliction that I have. It's an evil that has crept over my entire body, but you won't be able to see it. It's made its way through through my veins, and not one member of my body is able to do any work. Some people, he said to the lad, call it idleness or slothfulness. Slothfulness makes excuses, number one. Slothfulness is laziness, number three. Number three, slothfulness is self-centered. Let's go back to our text, Proverbs 26. It's self-centered, Proverbs 26. It grieveth him, verse 15, it grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. Think of this. The lack of energy and initiative in the slothful man is so profound that he can't or won't even care for his own personal needs. He puts no effort to meet his basic needs. Here's Proverbs 19:24, similar verse. It says, a slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. A slothful man. A young man who had been hired by the personnel department of a large supermarket chain reported to work at one of the stores. The manager greeted him with a warm handshake and a smile, handed him a broom and said, your first job is to sweep the store. The young man said, I'm a college graduate. The manager said, I'm sorry, I didn't know that. Here, give me the broom and I'll show you how. Slothfulness begins to cause us to think more highly of ourselves than we really ought to. Hey, I'm telling you what, don't let everything be about number one. No, others we talked about today. Slothfulness, number one. It makes excuses. It's laziness. It's self-centered. And then number four, I want to give you the cure at the end, so we've got to keep moving. Slothfulness leads to blindness. Look at verse number 16. The sluggard is wiser in his, what's the next two words? Own conceit. You see it there? Own conceit than how many men? Seven men can render a reason. It would not matter to the slothful one if seven people came up and told him the same thing about himself, because he would be wiser in his own conceit than this warning. This is what I call blindness. Blindness to the obvious. When seven, again, the emphasis here, right? Perfection. Number seven. When seven people come up and say to him, you know, hey, come on now, hey, come on now. And they try to help him. And he's like, no. I'm okay. He's blinded in his own conceit. If someone is not willing to work, as we said earlier, they will make every excuse possible to avoid it. I submit to you, when it comes to laziness, the less that we do, the less we want to do. Seven people cannot talk this lazy man out of being lazy. He is confident in his abilities that he never uses. He's lazy. Proverbs 21:25. Would you go over there quickly? Proverbs 21:25, just a couple pages back. The desire, verse 25, Proverbs 21:25. The desire of the slothful killeth him. Because what's the desire of the slothful? Nothing. Lazy. Rest all the time. Hey, come on. No, we're not criticizing rest, okay? Stay with me now. The desire of the slothful will kill him. Because the desire of the slothful is just to turn over in bed all the time. This is not just the application that we're making tonight, I want you to know, is not just in the sense of our physical labor, of our jobs and so forth. But I think the greatest travesty is spiritual slothfulness. I think that in my life at times, I'm lazy when it comes to my walk with God. I'm content to just lean on whatever was given to me by my dad, by my pastors, by my college professors. Yeah, I learned that in high school. You know, you hear a story sometimes. Pastor turns to the passage and, you know, we've heard it every time. I'm not saying that we have that thought. It's wrong. I'm just saying that I don't think this truth tonight that God impressed upon my heart is simply to be adapted to just our 50-hour a work week or however many hours of work. I think it ought to be adapted to our spiritual life as well. When it come to that. So the desire of the slothful killeth him. Why? Because his hands refuse to labor. I think about your hands. Do you have hands tonight? Amen. You have hands. These hands were given for us to labor. These hands were given to us to help feed ourselves in that way too. These hands were given to hold another hand of comfort, to pat someone on the back. We used to be able to shake hands. Hopefully someday we'll be able to do that again. They're very important, right? Our hands. But here it says that the slothful person, he refuses to labor. You know, if you or I have a Bible, we're going to have to use our hands, aren't we? Think about it now. I think you can make application to this. You don't take your hands that God's given you and open up this word right here. You're going to die. You're going to die on the vine. You're not going to die and go to hell, but your testimony's going to die. Your fervor for God's going to die. You're going to be a used to. You used to be excited. You used to be on fire. But now what? No, we got to get our hands opening this word and turning the pages and reading the word of God. Slothfulness or laziness can also find their way, as I mentioned, into our spiritual lives as well. Those that are slothful in the business of their walk with God will not be at pains. They won't put forth the effort to feed their own souls with the Word of God. Here it is. It's right here. It's bread. Okay? It's like, and again, I'm just going to, I know this might be a broad brush, but it's like if you were to go, and I'm not saying this would happen, but as an illustration, can we make it an illustration? Somebody's got a can, and they're trying to get people to put coins in their can because they don't have any money. Maybe they're homeless. And I think we ought to do whatever we can to help people like that. But let's say, for instance, you go to that individual and you say, you know what? I have a friend over here. He's hiring people to work. Do you need a job? Do you have a job? No, I don't have a job. My friend over here, he's hiring people to work at such and such, and they're paying minimum wage, and he's got positions available. It would be like that person saying to them, oh, no, I don't work for minimum wage. I'm not saying that would happen. I'm just saying as an illustration. Okay? What I'm saying is, in the same way of the illustration is, here we have all the food we could ever need, spiritually speaking. And how often are we lazy, slothful? How often are we starving ourselves when it's right here? Oh, no, I don't have time. It's right here. You know what? Your marriage can be helped in here. Realize that? Your child rearing can be helped in here. You realize that? Your depression, can be helped in here. Did you know that? It can help you right here. Really, everything that you might be carrying tonight, this afternoon, there is help in the Word of God. And just like that panhandler says, no, I don't work for minimum wage. Hey, when's the last time we got this book out and worked our fingers through this book to gain the help that we needed for the life that God has given us? Oh, there's so much there. Are you bringing forth fruit in your life? Is there any fruit in your life? You know why sometimes there's no fruit in my life, no fruit in your life? I say because of laziness. I say because of slothfulness. So, what's the cure? What's the cure? You know what? I think it's great to talk about laziness. It's great to talk about slothfulness, sluggard and all of that. But you know what? I want help with this, don't you? I want help. I want to avoid this, all right? Quickly, let me give you three things. This is the cure. Let's go to Proverbs 6. Back to the ant, okay? Back to the ant. Proverbs 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Isn't that what Solomon told the sluggard to do? Right? Hey, Mr. Sluggard, Mr. Sloth, Mr. Lazybones, you know, let's go check out the ant. Let's go look at the ant. So number one is learn from the ant. What can we learn from the ant? Well, they keep on going and don't stop. Now, I have done this many, many times. I have put my foot in front of an ant. I have put my hand in front of an ant. I have put things in front of an ant, you know, just, you know, pestering them, I guess. But you know what they do? They don't stand there and look at that. I mean, I have no idea how big it looks to an ant. You know, maybe you've seen Bug's Life. I don't know. But, you know, it's you try to think like an ant for a minute there. But you know what they do? They just move, keep moving, find another way. Ants keep on going and don't stop. And there's another thing about ant. The ant carries a heavy load. You know what I want to do? I want to get a lighter one. See, that's the difference between me and the ant sometimes. If my life could only get easier, that's not what the ant looks for. The ant carries, I don't know, what is it, 6 times their body weight or 1,000? I don't know, that's an exaggeration. But think about what that little ant's carrying when he's carrying a little pebble, a pebble of a cookie from your chocolate chip cookie at the picnic in comparison to his weight. No, they're trying to get that cookie, nutritional value, zero, but anyway, trying to get that cookie home to the nest so that when it's time for harvest, they have something to eat. They're willing to work. They're willing to labor. The ant just keeps going when opposition gets in the way. And how many times do you and how many times do I, when opposition comes, we stop, quit, and say, that's it. It's too hard. That's not the ant. See, the ant keeps on going. The ant carries a heavy load. We look for the lighter load. Can I encourage you? Serving the Lord, someone said this, serving the Lord until you get tired is a lot better than doing nothing while resting. I'm not sure how to apply that to my life, but I'm still working on it. Nothing wrong with getting tired. Get the rest. But we're saying tonight, that the ant is someone who keeps on going. That's the cure for laziness. Number one, learn from the ant. Number two, go to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, I said we were going to come back to this. This guy that considered it well, remember? Said we'd come back to it. The guy that went by and he saw the fields that had they were covered and all that. Number two, observe the consequences from those who are lazy. Now, I'm not saying go around and try to find lazy people, but typically you don't have to look for them. They're there. Look what it says in verse 32. Then I saw and considered it well. Hey, take note. This is where laziness gets us. And sometimes it's in your own life, in my own life. He considered it well. I looked upon it. Can you see him looking upon that field, Joshua? Can you see him looking upon those nettles? He looked upon it. What did he say? I got instruction. You see, he didn't have to be told anything. He just had to look and see, this is not what I want to do. You know, that's when we open our Bibles, God has told us so many things that we should do. And then he's shown us other examples of things that we don't want to get anywhere near. So many times we just need to allow the Holy Spirit of God to allow us to see things, and we don't have to be told anything. We just see and we say, you know what? That is not the direction I want to go. I received instruction. And then let's go to Romans 12. So number one, learn from the ant. Cure for laziness, learn from the ant. Number two, observe the consequences from those who are lazy. And then let's go to Romans 12. Romans 12, verse number 11. Here's our sloth again. Not slothful in business. Notice, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. What's another cure for laziness? Serve the Lord with your whole heart. Give God your best. Who deserves your best? We know the answer to that question. God does. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to glory. I like this term, wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. This is the cure. Serve the Lord with your whole heart. I can remember my dad. I thought I had the verse written down, but I can remember my dad in my teen years teaching me how to work, what work was all about. I don't think it was his life verse, but I say this jokingly, Dad, if you do hear this. But this is the verse I remember, other than Philippians 3, 13 and 14, which is my life verse, which he taught me at an early age. But he taught me this verse, if a man shall not work, he shall not eat. I don't think that's my dad's life verse. But if you asked me to remember a couple of verses about my dad, I'd go to Philippians 3, 13 and 14, and I've lost the reference for that. I think it's in Timothy, maybe somewhere. And if a man shall not work, he shall not eat. Folks, God's given us two hands. Again, there are some people today that physically are unable to work. In no way would I ever be critical of them. I think you know that. But God's given us two hands. He's given us a body to use, to work hard, to labor hard, to serve Him wholeheartedly. He's given us a purpose for life. He's given us direction. May we not be directionless. What is your plan for life? You don't have to know that at 7, okay? But you start to get up to 24, 25 years old. What direction are you going? Earlier than that, quite frankly. But, and not being like the door, moving but going nowhere. I mean, this life that God has given me, squeeze everything out of it. Squeeze everything out of it that we possibly can. The marriage that you have, squeeze everything out of it that you possibly can. Your children and your homes, squeeze everything out of them. They should work really hard so you don't have to. No, I'm just kidding. And they should work really hard and teach them that for the time that you have them, because they're leaving the home at some point and you want to reproduce the spirit of labor in them. For the glory of God. We're representing the King. I don't want to represent Him in a slothful and a sluggardly and a lazy way. Consider the ant. Learn from others' example. And serve the Lord wholeheartedly. That's a great